Well, it's my very great pleasure to introduce Alam Shaha, who's going to be our first of two speakers today. No, one's tomorrow. First of our speaker today. Some of us have already had an introduction to his work by seeing the little film last night, which I thought was a really beautiful little film, very sensitive, showing that little girl's face as she gradually took in this strange atmosphere of going to a new play place and eventually made a friend through food, which just shows how important that is. So having seen that, we're all looking forward to hearing you speak today, Alam. Alam is a science teacher specialising in physics, but he also spends quite a bit of his time making films, films about science, and no doubt he'll tell us about what other things, but to do with teaching science and the importance of teaching science. The other important thing, of course, is his book, which came out last year, The Young Atheist's Handbook, and Alam will tell us a bit more about that, and about his journey from a Muslim upbringing to a humanist, and he's told us that he's just recently become a trustee of the British Humanist Association. So I won't say any more. Can I just say, well, you'll probably explain this. Alam likes to talk informally, moving around a bit, and invite questions during the body of his talk rather than a formal lecture and then questions. So our holders of the roving mics may have to be prepared to get up at any time, but I'll leave that for you to sort out then, Alam. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Is everybody in at the back?
No.
Thank you for inviting me to this conference. It's a real pleasure to speak to such a diverse audience. I have been going around the country talking about my book, and it's quite boring talking to fellow atheists, quite frankly. it'd be interesting to see what you make of it. When I first wrote the book, I'll tell you about how and why I wrote the book, and I just want to explain why you can ask me questions at any time. I am a science teacher, I still teach science 2 days a week at a school in Camden, and I spend the rest of my time writing, making films and so forth, but I love teaching. I think it's the most important thing I do, and so I am a classroom teacher, genuine classroom teacher, and one of the things you learn as a classroom teacher is that you don't expect people to sit in silence and listen to you. So I'm not expecting you to sit in silence and listen to me. As a teacher, I don't think silence in the classroom is a good thing. I think people should be thinking and asking questions, and I prefer dialogue rather than lecture. So if at any point you want to ask me a question, please put your hand up, and I'd much rather have a conversation this morning than a situation where I just stand and talk at you. So as I said, I'm a science teacher, and you might think, why did a science teacher write a book about atheism? I'm not qualified to write about religion, really. You know, I feel terribly embarrassed now that I wrote a book about religion and giving up God, when actually I haven't studied theology, haven't really studied philosophy. And if I thought about this before I wrote the book, I would probably never have written a book. And one of the things writing a book and talking about has done is revealed to me the kind of depth and breadth of my ignorance. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think coming face to face with your ignorance is probably a good thing for most of us. So I've written a book called The Young Atheist's Handbook, and I'm not going to stand here and try and sell it to you, because if you like what I've got to say, rather than buy yourself a copy, what I would really like you to do is donate to the British Humanist Association's campaign to get a copy of the book into every school. Because frankly, I didn't write the book for people like you. It's called The Young Atheist's Handbook, and it's called that for a very good reason. You might think God is more likely to turn up in a biology lesson, where you might be teaching evolution, for example, and you might get students who come from a background where evolution is not accepted, and they might question that. But stop and think about it. As a physicist, I have to teach the Big Bang Theory. And the Big Bang Theory is the scientific creation story. It's yet another creation story that humans have come up with, right? That's all it is. slightly different to the other creation stories, but you know, all cultures throughout history have come up with their own creation stories. We want to know where we come from. We want to have answers to those big questions, and the Big Bang Theory is an answer to that question. But it's categorically different. It's different because it's an evidence-based theory, and it's a theory that makes predictions about how the world ought to be, which are testable. And I'll come back to that idea in a moment. But as I was teaching this subject on one occasion several years ago, one of my students said to me, "This is an atheist school, and you're teaching us this nonsense because you want us not to believe in God," and went off on a kind of rant about how I was actually trying to kind of brainwash her into not believing in God. And I said, "Just calm down a minute, bud." I didn't say that.
Catholic physics teacher, and I did the question for a minute
whether or not that was appropriate or makes sense. It didn't seem contradictory to me at all. But as I said, I found that students seem deeply fascinated by my religious background. And the other thing is, I'm from Bangladesh. I was born in Bangladesh, and I teach in a very multicultural school, very diverse school. The student body is very diverse, but and there's a large proportion of Bangladeshi children. And for many of them, I'm the first Bangladeshi teacher they've ever encountered. It's pretty exciting for some of them. And it's a weird school in that most of the staff are white. So when I first learned about the school, that was quite unusual for some of them. And I could see them when they first met me were visibly excited. And they'd come up to me, even if I didn't think, they'd go, Mr. Shah, are you from Bangladesh? And I say, yes. And they say, you must be a Muslim then. And I say, no, I'm not actually. And they'd go, what are you then? And I'd say, I'm an atheist. And you could see the look of disappointment on their face. And it's really heartbreaking. For me personally, it's heartbreaking because they think that, so they come along thinking, oh, here's someone like us. We gravitate towards people like us. And they think, how exciting, there's a Bangladeshi teacher. And it's a, you know, role model, whatever you want to say. And then they don't think I'm so exciting anymore because I'm not like them. And we have a separate conversation about how post 9/11, Bangladeshi students, Somalis, Pakistanis, identify first and foremost as Muslims and not with any other identity. And what's really disappointing to me is I can see that some students come along thinking, this is going to be a teacher I like and I relate to. And then the moment they find out I'm naked, suddenly some kind of barrier comes down that they feel they no longer relate to me. And I think that's sad. Thank you.
Kane, I was in our conversation earlier on, but I thought this was a good opportunity to follow it up and ask. That's what I'm waffling on about. Right. Is it possible? A lot of people here, including me, of course, would call ourselves Christian atheists. Do you think there is any possibility that we could have people fairly soon who are calling themselves Muslim atheists?
I think that is absolutely a possibility. I think it's a possibility that I would like to see happen very soon. And in fact, a friend of mine has just started something called the Muslim Culture and Humanist Association, which is being populated by people like you described, unfortunately. And again, I'm not sure if this is what we really want to talk about this one, but unfortunately, this business of identity being tied up with religion is so strong in mainstream communities that it's very difficult from